Silver Cell fail. I got to press this.
That's it. You're on.
While I sort myself out, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Isaiah. Just as a very quick one, this, and then I'm going to preach something else. But this is something I pray every night with my wife for my family. So, you there? Hang on, we're on this thing.
Isaiah
59, verse 21. And as I say, I'm not going to preach this, but I pray it every night, and it's worth us parents and grandparents paying attention.
Which verse is that?
Verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is the covenant with them. A covenant. My covenant. Always remember a covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. When God gives his word, it's his word. He does not change his mind. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. That is the covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them, saith the Lord. My spirit who is upon you, and my word which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your descendants nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants. Will not depart from the mouth of your children or your children's children. Now I pray that every night. God, you are a covenant keeping God. And you've said the same word and the same spirit that rests in me and on us will rest on my children and on my children's children. Now, maybe that's not worked out yet. That's fine. That's fine. God's word cannot fail. God cannot fail. His word will come to pass. Amen? So, that's enough for today. Anyway, John chapter 9. But that's the one I always it's worth remembering. It's this great prayer, isn't it? Lord, you have said that somehow or another the same word, the same spirit that's on me will rest upon my children and on my children's children. 2 weeks ago, two of my grandbabies went off to New Day in Norwich, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Granddad, we was crying like we was just pouring out. Hey, God's good. God will keep his word. And I believe that some of my children will be preachers and some of my children will go on and do great exploits. As far as this man who's going to Thailand, one of my missionaries was a one of my daughters was a missionary in Thailand for 4 years in Klong Toi, and it is a wonderful country with wonderful people. Be blessed, Jean. Where are you, darling? Know that we will pray for you. All right, John chapter 9 then. I can't remember his title. It's going to be Neil for a minute. I thought that's wrong. The title is I Went, I Washed, I Saw. That's an easy one, isn't it? I Went, I Washed, I Saw. Alright, John chapter 9. It says, and Jesus, I'm starting at verse 7, do we not? No, we do not. Verse 1. And Jesus saw, here we go. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither the man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one works. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he said these things, I love this bit. He spat on the ground. Ew, Jesus spat. He spat on the ground. He made a clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went, he washed, he came back seeing. This is a bit I love as well. Therefore the neighbours and those who had previously seen him, who was blind, said, this is not he. Is this not he who sat and begged? And some of them said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how is it that your eyes were opened? And he answered them and said, this is great. And those of you who like to preach or want to preach, this is one of those messages you can do a great thing with. A man called Jesus made a clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go and wash. Go to the pool Siloam and wash. I went and washed and I received my sight. And they said, where is it? We want some of it. All right, Father, come now by your Spirit. We're excited about Jesus. Whenever we just think of the potential that we find in him, all things are possible with God, and all things are possible with those who will believe that all things are possible with God. So we come before you now in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, move in this place. And we will be sure to give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to start. This is one of those ones you could spend with there. Ready? And Jesus saw a man. Those of you who like to do a word search, when you get home, look how many times in the Bible it talks about Jesus seeing somebody. The man at the pool. When Jesus saw, he had been there all that time. Again and again, you see that Jesus saw. Because what I want to say to you today is this, that Jesus hasn't stopped seeing. Whatever our need, whatever our situation, God sees. The eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Even Stourbridge. It is Stourbridge, isn't it? Stow what? That place. The eyes of the Lord run throughout the whole earth. Wherever you are today, God sees you. Amen. Now that's comforting, because I think many of us sort of, I don't know if God knows. He knows. He sees. I'll give you another one. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's why turning the lights out, don't change it. Or whispering, don't change it. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, all right? So, Jesus saw this man who had been blind from birth. This is a literal, physical person, yeah? Historical person. But I want to say to you, the spiritual implications are the same. That you and I were born blind. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says this, that the ruler of this world has blinded the hearts of men. We were all born blind. We were all born in sin. I don't know if that's true. Look at little babies. How can you say they were born in sin? I always say it like this. Get two kids, put one toy in the middle. And you will see original sin. You don't have to work it out. You will see original sin. So we were born spiritually blind as well. Because this is going to have the literal application for this man. But it's got the same application for us. Is that all right? Good. The state of all humanity, spiritually blind, they cannot see. Someone's already said that scripture today, Hebrews 13:8. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus still sees. Because we've got to talk about that healing of this man physically, but there's another healing which is far more important, and that's that we get spiritually healed. That our blind, the eyes of our understanding are opened. Right, so we're getting there. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says this. And we get For those of you who are not church people, I'm going to use a strange kind of jargon, but don't worry, you'll see facts with it that comes out. It says, we do not have a high priest. That's what Jesus is doing at the moment. Praying for you. Speaking to God. You should get excited at that. There's one right now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high who ever lives to mention your name before the throne of grace. Praise God. I don't know if I can make it. How can you say that when Jesus is praying for you? Well, as long as Jesus is at the right hand of majesty on high, until we go to meet him face to face, he will call my name before the throne of grace. Who can faint while such a river ever flows is thirst to the sage, grace which like the Lord the giver ever flows from age to age. There is one today calling your name before the throne of grace. Would you graciously turn to the person next to you and just tell them that means you? Yeah? That means you. There's not one person, none too good, none too bad, that doesn't need Jesus to pray for them. We do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathise, it says in the modern translation. I don't like that. Because when you get sympathy, it's kind of like, oh, poor old you. Oh, all I need is someone to sympathise. I don't need someone to sympathise. I need someone to help me out, help me through, take me over, make a way. I don't need your sympathy. When I've got a problem, I've got a problem. I don't need you to come around and say, ah, oh, just carry on in your problem. I need someone to come along. That's why the old Bible's good. It says we do not have a high priest who is unable to be touched with our weaknesses. Jesus feels your pain. Today I just want to tell you this. Jesus feels your pain. Jesus feels your agony. Jesus feels all that's going on in your life. He sees it and he feels it. He's not detached. He's not sort of some, oh thou who sits in the heavens. Oh. It says that the old African American saints used to say, though he sits high, he can reach low. No matter how high he is, my friend, he is intimately involved in you and I. He sits on the throne of grace, but he is involved with you and I. Since we have a great high priest, who's not unable to sympathise with all that we go through, being tempted in all ways as we are, that's what I want to say. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Jesus, I've got a problem. Not you, me. You've got the Lord, so hope you've got a problem. But for us, the lesson is, Jesus, I've got a problem. You see where I am. You see what's going on. You see my hurt. You see my pain. You see what I... And I can come before you, knowing that you will be touched. The Greek word there, sympathy, I don't know where we get sympathy from, means to be moved in the depth of, you know, one of the other words was used, compassion. It literally means to be moved in the very depths of your being. The Greek literally means to be moved in your bowels. When they can think of nowhere more deeper in a person's being, it means that, you know, you feel it. Jesus feels your suffering, my friend. I want you to know that today, because he's not aloof and separate. He's with us in it. He walks with us. It's not going to say he walks with me until the going gets tough and he disappears. He walks with me. Surely goodness and mercy. I love that one. Surely goodness. We sing it, don't we? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Stop sometimes and it'll catch up with you. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. So it's continually coming my way. It does not stop. Because the Lord does not change. There we go, don't rock. Psalm 103 verse 3 says this, he knows my frame, he remembers I'm dust. The danger is we try to be super spiritual, don't we? There we are falling apart, we say, oh Lord, kumbaya, I'm so much. You know, be honest. Until you can be honest with God, you're not be honest with yourself. Mm. Until you be honest with yourself and not be honest with God, it's a plan. Lord, I am a mess. Now, none of you in this room ever get to this, but don't you ever pray like, God, I am really ticked. And if you do not help me out, I'm going to slap them. Oh, Jesus. If we pray like that more often, we get into a lot less trouble, I tell you. He's just waiting for us, to be honest. Why? Because it's truth that sets us free. I tell you what, the older I get, the more I realise God says to me, Ken, you are stupid. And I think, it took you long enough to get that revelation. We need help. We are flawed beings. So Jesus sees our condition. And now you get in verse 2 through to about 3 and 4. Then you get these disciples who ask a great question. And I'm not even going to try to answer it today for Christ's sake. Why? Why on earth did this happen? This prophet is now born blind. His mother's on his own. Listen, I'm just going to say this to you. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. Sometimes it is the consequences of our life. Sometimes there are consequences. I can't dress that up, you know. That's a fact. You smoke so many cigarettes today. There's a fair chance you might have some health issues on the back end of it. There's no good thing about saying, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. It's just a fact of life. That's just the truth. We live in a fallen world, but in that fallen world, that's what I'm trying to say. Jesus goes on to say, listen, we live in a dark world, but I am the light of the world. And I work in this situation. So this is the bit we're going to come to. Just that I'm aware of the time. No, I'm not. I like this bit where it says, Jesus spat in the ground and made clay. Who's ever heard of R.W. Schoenbach? R.W. Schoenbach is a famous old Indian dinosaur. He's an old dinosaur. He's died recently as an old dinosaur. So he's doing one of his tent meetings, and he says, this woman came up. She said, brother, spit on my tongue. And he said, one doesn't do that, that's all. And she said, for the Lord has told me, if you will spit on my tongue, I will be married. R.W. Schoenbach, you know, R.W. Schoenbach said this, he said, and I spat on my tongue. And the moment that he did, that cancer fell off her throat, and she went off running around the tent. I don't know how it works. But sometimes God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Isn't that not true? Listen, and Jesus made a clay. So he didn't just, he done the job. Read your Bible. He made a clay. And then he anointed both sides. Those of you who like the Greek, it literally means to rub over, to smear. It wasn't just a little. Oh, no. He gave the full lift, that spat on the ground, made the clay. I'm not going to try to preach. I'll have to preach the second half of this because time's been. Listen. So now this bloke standing there with this got all over his face. And Jesus says to him, go and wash in the pool, so I know, which is translated as
sent.
Now this is where it breaks down for you and I. Well, it breaks down before that. Sometimes I've got a special word for it. But this is where it breaks down for you and I. You see, we don't want the strange, we don't want the inconvenient, and even more, we do not want the embarrassment. Now, Jesus, if you could sit on the ground, come on, wash off, preacher said, come forward now and go ahead of the world. Who's ever been in that place? And you know it's you. You think, what an incredible thing. How embarrassing. I mean, he ain't got spit all over your face, or clay, it was just a place to have a little more on it. But you're standing there thinking, I'm so embarrassed. Big thing.
Oh, shit, brother.
And you miss your mum. So David one day gets really happy with God. Remember when he went out there? And he starts dancing around and he falls and he's happy. Maybe it's a sumo wrestling. There's a picture for you. Anyway, David's dancing because he's happy. And the woman says, make sure his wife says, look, I give him and said, put him out with you. Before all these, he makes that look like a fool, a common person. What's Jesus' response? What's the baby's response? I don't look myself. More I give of my less. If this is what the Spirit of God calls me to do, I'm not for it. Because I want to tell you this, you're going to miss your miracle because God might ask you to do something strange. I told you last time I was here about a woman who had money around the church. I don't know why. I don't advocate it. I'm not setting a package saying, run on your day. Because if you run, you've got to have to do it. You're going to have to die. Well, you're going to, yeah, you're going to have to have a lesson to study. If God tells you to do it. Remember in John chapter 2, Jesus goes to a wedding. And they've got a point. And there's a little quote in there which I don't like. So Mary comes up to him and says, here Jesus, said, run out of wine. He said, why am I out of the way? Come. Jesus, no, Mary doesn't live by that. She says, the problem is the way that whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, the next bit is the one that I like about this story. And he said, and there were six jars in the room, each containing somewhere between 20 and 30 gallons. Now, a gallon of water weighs 20 pounds. 20 gallons is... Come on. 20 gallons? No, 200.
That's 10.
Anyway, a lot.
It's 20 pounds a gallon.
10,000.
Oh, sorry, the first
10,000. Gallon of water weighs 10 pounds. So it's 200 pounds an inch. So I shift. 1,200 pounds. Can you imagine the poor? We're out there, and here I am, carrying 1,200 pounds of water. What on earth is this all about? Sometimes you do strange, you know. This is out of Kings, chapter, I think it's chapter 6, isn't it? Where the name of this is Bob. The Syrian. Now you know that. Yes, it is. She's Bob. So he says there's a commander in the king of Syria's army. And then he says to her, he's quite a big boy. They go to the town for his dad. Then there's this little girl with a taken slave, who's a little slave for his wife, who says, oh, my master was in Israel, there's a man there who he knew. So, man goes to the king of Syria, king of Syria writes a letter to the king of Israel, king of Israel reads the letter and goes, ah, I can't do this. Good, he's halfway there. Now, Elisha. So off, Nan goes to Elisha the prophet. And can you imagine this bloke around, this is quite somebody. He turns out all his entourage, his retinue, is it? All his hands on. He turns up and he's got all his gifts and presses. And the man of God don't even care. He's put that on. Listen, it's all part of the package, isn't it? And he says, the Hittite and the man of God's shirt comes out and says, my boss says, go and dip 7 times in the river Jordan, and your flesh will become like me. That's verse 10, by the way. Verse
he gets his parts wrong. And it says, enamel is furious. For those of you who think, and my wife must be over this way because I put it to that side of the motion. Enamel is furious. Or he'd say, listen, I've got this river and that river and that river where we come from, and they're a lot better than this muddy stream. Can you imagine that? Fortunate enough, we've got a few friends who said, here, what do you want to do? Can you hear the conversation come all this way? Come on, here's worth a try. Give it a go. And at that moment, he nearly missed his miracle. Because he goes on to say, for he said, I have thought, and that's where it goes. I thought he would come out, he'd call on the name of his girl, he'd wave his hands about a bit, and that would have gone down. That's what I thought was going to happen. Isaiah 55:8 says this, my ways are your ways, and my thoughts are much more than us. Sadly, not for the heavens are higher than the earth, or my ways are not as much as mine. What am I trying to say today? And I will come back to this next time I come, because I'm interested in something in my heart. God may have a miracle for you. In fact, I've got a miracle. But sometimes it does not come the way we think it will. Sometimes I have found my life, God has asked me to do some strange things, and when I have, that's when I receive what I've been praying about somewhere over there. Isaiah chapter 1:19 says this, if you are willing and obedient, you will live on a good man. 1 Samuel 15, was it? Remember that verse 3? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than fowl and house. Maybe God's asking you to do something. Bob Moffat used to tell a story about one of the members in his church went to and asked him to come and pray for somebody. And he said, it's not my custom to go and pray for people. It's like I'm a busy international speaker, I'm too busy to go. But anyway, he said, I'll wait until one of the deacons in the church or something, or hungry, obviously, felt. And he went and he said, there's this woman dying. And he said, sister, he said, there she is, she's emaciated, she's weak, she's got no strength. And I asked her, he said, sister, the Lord tells me, if you will forgive your former pastor, he will raise you up. And he said, at that moment, the Lord said, oh, no, she's wrong. Has come to bed. I will not forgive. I will not. See, maybe God says something to you about forgiveness. Or maybe he says something to you about restoration of some sort. Or maybe, and this may be the issue of something that you do. This may be the issue of something that you do. This may be the issue that's keeping that door closed and you need open. For example, we have a girl in the church. This is the This is God's first job. We can sell a house. And she needed to sell a house. And she was doing everything she could do to sell a house. Sell a house. My wife says, I believe the Lord said to you, if you're a brother, the door. Now, I don't think the brother makes any sense of the difference. She ran all of a sudden, I don't think I was probably preaching. She went off screaming out of church. In 2 weeks, some people have been hanging around for months and months and months and months and couldn't get a breakthrough. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now there are some limitations to this. Is it in the Bible? Kenneth Hagin used to tell a story about how he said, you know that anything you ask, believe you've never seen it shall happen. He said, America, I think it's in your silicon. He said, I want that man's wife. Because she said, what do I have? Ask my man. So, of course, that's a lot of knowledge. That's a lot of knowledge. It's got to be in the Bible. But if it's in the cards, why on earth did God give us these promises that we didn't intend to follow? Listen to me. I've got so much stuff out of this that I'll try to cut it short. I'll kind of finish something. Because, listen, a man called Jesus met this man's name. He gave him the name of Christ. He sent him to a place called Washington, Jesus Christ. So those of you who want to do your homework, you'll find this one points that you can get out of that man's testimony. Because what also says he's going to write the testimony. So what about the man Jesus? What did he do? He saw the Christ through Calvary. And now, you say amen. You want it, don't you? But I haven't got time because your little turkey burn and you blame me. Shall we stand in the presence of the Lord? Because I've come out today to send a message to say this. God knows you, He knows where you are. He wants to meet you and me. Maybe, just maybe, over these coming weeks. And if I remember, I'll try to pray for you as well. He wants to show you something. Listen, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's really weird. Talk to your pastor, because you have weird stuff. Do you know, before Nike made that saying, the Bible was already there. Just do it. Now, that's the adventure of faith, isn't it? And as you do, you will find all right, it's up and all over here. We're preaching the gospel. Just do the first bit. Yeah, tell your neighbour. Oh, I wish I had got all this to do now. So silly. It all starts somewhere. It's all embryonic. It all starts with the first bit. But you start walking it out. So we stand in the presence of the Lord, those of you who can, those of you who can't. We're going to pray for you anyway.
Thank you.
Because I'm excited about now, Mark. I'm excited about this congregation. And I want to tell you, this is the other thing, I want to also say. But I know that the pastor and the church family here, listen, pray. Time for us to start saying, you know, I believe God. And that it will be. I'll give you one more. Acts 27, Paul's in the boat, the boat's going down. And he comes up and he says to them, take them up. For an angel of the Lord to whom I serve, to whom I serve, spoke to me this time. And I believe it will be exactly as it was spoken to me. Can you say that today? No, I believe. I may not be there yet. May still be a little bit stronger. I will believe that it will be exactly as it was spoken to me. Now, Father, by your Spirit, would you come in this place? We see each and every heart. We see each and every life. And we know that each and every service. There's nothing coming from you. But you said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. So now we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we come boldly before the throne of Christ to receive grace and mercy
help in time of need. You said your grace is sufficient. So Lord, come. As we stand in your presence, as we call on your name, come.
Amen.